Well, good morning. Lovely to see you all this morning. Very welcome to St. Phil Road Presbyterian, whether you are here in person or whether you are joining us online. It's great to see so many people here this morning. Especially welcome if you are visiting with us this morning, again online, or whether you're here visiting with us. I always say that, whether I know that there are people visiting or not, because we always want to be really open and warmly welcoming to anybody who comes to visit and be with us and worship with us on a Sunday morning. It's great to have you. But I do know this morning for a fact there are a number of visitors here. My mum, for one, it's great. Hi, mum. Great to see you. We've friends as well over from England, Phil and Kathy and their family. We're away for a week and they're going to be staying at the manse looking after the goldfish, which is very important. Did you know that's part of your job? Great, good. But especially warm welcome to the families and the friends of Rowan and Caleb, who are going to be baptized this morning. Folks here at the front, it's great to see you. You're really welcome. We've been looking forward to this for a while and so glad we've come to this moment. Well, as I said, just a couple of announcements. I'm away this coming week until next Sunday. If there is a pastoral emergency, please do just contact Alistair McCracken and Ian Hart, who we know well here, Reverend Ian Hart. He'll be covering again for this week. Looking ahead just to the coming weeks, next week, Gordon Campbell's going to be leading our service here. And we're also looking forward at the end of August to hearing from our Exodus team, two teams spent a week doing mission with children and young people on the Shankar Road earlier in July, and we're going to be hearing from them on the 29th of August. And then on September the 5th, we're going to have a kind of back to Sunday. So people are back to school, and maybe after being away for a bit of the summer, we're back to work, and we're being able to be back to church. Now, we're not going to be able to be back all together still yet, but we're hoping that by the start of September, we'll be able to sit a little bit closer, maybe a meter apart, not two, and hopefully what that'll mean, although we'll still have to alternate as we're doing, but hopefully that'll mean children and families can join us from the very start and be with us, and we can get back to worshiping that first part of the service all together, all age, all together. So looking forward to being back to things on the 5th of September. Well, we've been thinking about psalms over the summer, songs in the key of life, we've called them. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 136. Now, Psalm 136 has a repeated refrain, a repeated line, after every verse. Every other line is, "His love endures forever." So it's one of those songs that really is, it's a joiner inner. You know, songs you listen to and songs, some songs you sing along to. It's a joiner inner. So as we begin our worship, I'm going to invite you in a moment to stand, and I'm going to use the opening three verses and the last verse of Psalm 136. But I'm going to encourage you all to join in with that phrase, "His love endures forever." Now, because it happens four times, just on this opening time, we're going to emphasize a different word each time. So the first time you say it, "His love endures forever." The second time, "His love endures forever." The third time, "His love endures forever." And you've got it. The fourth time, "His love endures forever." I'm sure you'll get that. You could consider this practice for when we continue with the rest of the psalm later in the service. But most of all, as we declare the enduring love of God, let's consider it worship. Let's stand if you're comfortable too. And following this, we'll carry on in worship, singing a couple of songs of praise. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever." Let's praise God.
Thanks to the Lord.
Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Almighty God, our Father, you are the Lord of lords, you're the God of gods, you are the God of heaven, and we praise you. Lord, we delight to sing of your goodness, of your love, of your salvation. We thank you that you have made us and that you've given us life. We thank you that you have given us new life and hope in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you gather us into your family, the church. Lord, we thank you for the faith we share and that we express as we worship together, as we sing, as we pray, as we hear your word and respond. But Father, we confess that what we say and what we sing with our lips doesn't always match the things we think, the things we say, and the things we do. Father, we're sorry for the times we have fallen short, the times we've let you down, the times we've not been the people you have made us to be. But we praise you that your promises, your good news of forgiveness and love are true in Jesus Christ. And that they're true not just for us alone, but for our children. May we remember that and take joy in that again this morning. Lord, in faith, we ask that as we come to baptize with water, your Holy Spirit will be at work. That you'd give grace to Rowan and Caleb, along with Nick and Rebecca and Karis and Gavin, and along with all of us, so that they and we might grow up to love and serve you in your church and in your world. Help us all to worship you and live as those true to our baptism and the promises we make, following you, Christ, as Lord, in every part of our daily lives and living in love as your people. Lord, this we pray in faith and trust and hope and anticipation, and in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been looking forward to these baptisms since March of last year, just the first week. I think first or second week that we were in lockdown and couldn't meet was the day we had planned for the baptisms of Rowan and Caleb. Now, often when we're baptizing really cute little babies. And Caleb and Rowan, though they've remained very cute cousins, have grown up enough pretty much to be able to walk to their baptism. But it's great we've come to this point. Baptism is a wonderful thing. But it's first and foremost not about the cuteness of the children or even the tradition of it, although that's important. It's not even about the promises that the parents or we as a congregation will make, although they're important too. The most wonderful thing about baptism is that it's a big promise that our great God makes and renews with us this morning. It all starts with a big story of the Bible. God made this wonderful creation and humans to live in it. But those first humans, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God and they fell from his special favor. And that has affected all of us, even cute little boys like Rowan and Caleb, and our whole world. But despite that fall, God chose, out of love, to bring people back into that special relationship with him forever. So he made big promises to a man called Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'll be your God to you and all your children, and through you I'll bring blessing to people everywhere. Perhaps you've been to the beach this summer. Perhaps you are going. Maybe the weather will hold up. You look at the sand on the beach. That's what God said to Abraham. Look at the sand on the beach and count how many grains if you can. It's a huge number, but God said, my promise, Abraham, is bigger than that. God said he'd bring it about through a descendant of Abraham. And one of the things that happens through the rest of the story of the Bible from the start as we trace it through is we trace Abraham's descendants until it comes to the one who would bring that great blessing that God promised. And when Jesus came as a baby, born as a baby, he lived and he died and he rose again to deal with that sin and to cleanse us from all the wrong we've done and turning away from God, so that if we believe and trust in him, we know that we're God's people, just as he promised Abraham. The thing is, when God promised Abraham, Abraham believed and trusted God. The Bible tells us that anyone, anywhere, who believes and trusts God's son, Jesus, is a child of Abraham. And not just a child of Abraham, but the loved, forgiven children of God, part of his family now and forever. And that's a promise, said one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, that God still keeps to bless us and our children, the generations to come, with that special love and grace. So when we come and are baptized, it's actually first and foremost about God's promises to us and to our children. It's a sign of what he promises again this morning. It's a sign that the promise that God made to Abraham and to be his God is as fresh and true for us today. It's a sign that Jesus fulfilled that promise in Abraham for us, and that through Jesus we're cleansed from our sin and made right with God. It's a seal of God's promise through Jesus to bless us and our children with his love and favor. So as we baptize children, we mark them with this sign among us. We're introducing them to the promises of God that forgiveness and blessing comes through his free gift of love. And our children among us join with God's family by hearing and inheriting that promise. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will bring them in due time to make a personal response of their own. And that is our greatest desire as a church and as parents, isn't it? That the children and young people among us would grow as fully devoted followers of Jesus. Even more than as people of great earthly promise, hey, gold medal Olympians, we pray that they would be children of the heavenly promise. So as God renews that promise to us in Jesus today, we also faithfully respond with promises. And in that faith, Gavin and Karis, along with Caleb, and Rowan with Rebecca and Neil, bring them for baptism. So guys, come and join me at the front here, and I'm going to invite everybody else to stand, if you would. Come and stand. So guys, I should say this for the sake of the tape recording and the camera as well. Actually, Gavin and Rebecca are brother and sister, if you didn't know that, if you're visiting with us today. So these families are all very close and they can stand within 2 meters. And these cousins hang out together. It is lovely to have this happen today. Nick, Rebecca, I'm going to grab one of those in a minute as well myself. Maybe not. Nick, Rebecca, Gavin, Karis. You know baptism lays a solemn duty on you to make confession of your faith before God and to promise to bring up these boys and your children in that faith. So let me ask you 2 questions. Do you confess your faith in God as your heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier and guide? And do you promise, depending on God's grace, to teach Caleb and Rowan the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by your prayers, teaching, and example, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and in the ways of the Church of Jesus Christ? Baptism also lays solemn duties on us as the people of God in this congregation. These children aren't just brought up in these families, they're brought up in our church family in faith. So I'm going to ask us a question, and the correct answer is, we do. Do you promise, by the grace of God, so to live in the faith of the gospel and in love for one another, that these children may grow up to love and serve our Lord Jesus Christ? We do. May the Lord give us all the grace to keep the vows we have taken. Now, at this point, we're going to do something a little untried and exciting, so I'm going to need Chris Pollock to come up here. What I'd like to do at this point, to set a little tradition, is to take a picture of the families here. But we're going to do this, they're going to turn around and face that way, and we're going to do this with all of you in the background. So this is going to be a little symbolic picture. Chris, you will know better than me, but I wonder whether around the back there or, hey, listen, you'll get a great angle. So the idea being that we take a picture of these families and their children, but within the family of God, the church family here. So in the background, we'll have all the people who are helping them to grow up in that love. Now, these pictures may or may not work out. Who knows? But we'll try it. So I'm going to encourage you all to smile. Not that that makes much of a difference behind the mask. Smile those eyes. And say cheese. Brilliant. Thank you. Well, listen, boys. So I'll begin with Caleb here. Caleb, do you want to come to me? Not really, not really. Caleb, do you want to stand down and hold my hand? I don't fancy this. Brilliant. Caleb, lovely to see you. Caleb Patrick Rogers, what a boy. I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Caleb. Bless you. Rowan. Not a chance. Rowan, should we do the sitting down? Oh, shall I sit with you, hey? Rowan, I baptize you, Rowan John McNeil, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great.
Bravo, bravo.
Well, listen, we're going to sing our blessing over them. We're going to sing the Aaronic blessing. Normally I might walk around with the boys. I think they're quite happy with their mums at the moment. But as we look on these boys and their families, we're going to sing together, "The Lord bless you and keep you," and the words will be on the screen. Children at home and their families and at home in this place. How wonderful. Nick, Rebecca, Caleb, Rowan, Karis, Gavin, know that these boys are members of the family of God and they're called to follow Jesus. Know that this church is the home that they feel at home in and they are always welcome here. It's their family. Bring them up in that faith and in that hope, growing in wisdom. And may God bless you and them and us as you do. Hooray! Amen. Amen. Folks, we're going to stay standing and we're going to sing about the faith in which we hold and in which we baptize these great boys as we sing this, "I Believe." have a seat. It's lovely to sing songs, Days of Elijah and this, I believe, that express our faith and are chosen by the two families, the McNeils and the Rogers, for us to sing today. We're going to come to the next bit of our reading now. We're not going to hear all the rest of Psalm 136, but Corinne's going to come and read verses 4 to 9 and 25. Now, you got a bit of practice earlier. I'm going to encourage you then, as Corinne reads, she's going to lead us in the second line, His love endures forever, are saying all together. Now, you don't have to emphasize different bits and you don't have to stand up, but let's repeat each line and join in together as Corinne leads us in these next verses.
His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever.
Thanks, Corinne. Well, that next bit of the psalm reminds us that God is our creator and our maker and sovereign over all things, but he also continues to sustain us through all things and provide for us his whole creation. In that vein, Wally is going to come and lead us in our prayers of intercession and praying for Caleb and Rowan too. Wally, lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come before you in prayer this morning, whether that be gathered together in our church building or from the surroundings of our own homes. Thank you that wherever we are, you are there with us and hear and respond to our prayers. God, we praise you that the boundaries of church are not confined to four walls or a building, but rather the church is your people. And what a privilege to join with our many brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who choose to worship you today. Thank you that you hear each and every prayer, spoken and unspoken, and that you are here with us now. Lord, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear our prayers and answer them according to your will. Teach us to pray with our hearts as well as our lips. Keep our thoughts from wandering and help us to remember that you are near us when we pray and are always ready to hear. If our prayers are not always answered in the way that we would like, give us grace to accept your will for us and to remember that you know best. Even when our life is busy and our time is crowded with everyday activities, help us still to make time to turn to you for the strength and guidance we need. God, we thank you for this new day, and we recognize and praise your sovereignty over all things, and thank you for your wonderful creation that we get to enjoy. Father, when we can sit back and truly take in the wonders of your creation, the mountains and the valleys, the seas and the skies, and everything that lies in between and beyond, in the sun, moon, and stars, we can't help but be struck by the wonders of everything that you have made. Thank you for your world, Lord, and for the magnitude of everything beyond our planet, Lord. We praise you for all that you have made, and thank you that your love endures forever. We thank you, Lord, that you hold everything in perfect balance and that you sustain all of your created world, especially us. We thank you that we are set apart, that as Psalm 139 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you knew each one of us before we ever came into being, and you showed your love for us in Jesus. We thank you that there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation, but that it is only through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that takes away our sins. and then only through his resurrection that we can be given the hope and gift of eternal life with you. We thank you for your word and for your wisdom that is given to us through it. We know that through the study of your word, through prayer, and through your Holy Spirit, we can grow in spiritual maturity, and we pray that our hearts will be open to your leading at every point. Help us to follow your promptings and to learn from you and from each other as we worship you as a church family. And Father, we thank you for family. And this morning, we especially give you thanks for Rowan and Caleb and their families. It's such a joy to see them being brought for baptism this morning and to rejoice in the commitment and the promises made by their parents to bring them up in knowledge and worship of you. God, we pray for Nick and Rebecca and Gavin and Karis. Bless them, Lord. Guide and protect them as they seek to guide and protect Rowan and Caleb through life and through faith. May your Holy Spirit give them all the wisdom that they need to encourage their sons in faith, hope, and love. And we do pray that in time that the promises of your gospel that their parents hold to would become deep and personal for Rowan and Caleb, and that they would seek to follow you. Help them to know deeply that not only are they loved by their parents and their families, but they are loved by the God who knew them before they were ever born, the God who fearfully and wonderfully made them and has a plan for each of them. Father, we pray for all of those who are expecting exam results this week. It's been such a topsy-turvy year for all children and young people in terms of schooling. And between exams and assessments, we know that nothing has felt normal about the process, and there's been so much more stress and anxiety. We pray for everyone expecting A-level results on Tuesday and GCSE results on Thursday. And we ask that you would bring them peace this week in the midst of a lot of competing thoughts and feelings. We pray that you would give them comfort that no matter the outcome, that you have a plan for each and every one of them. We thank you for the promises in Jeremiah 29 that say, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." We pray that they would all seek you and know that while results are important, that they don't define an entire journey of life and that you are in control. And finally, Lord, we think of all of those that we know and love who are sick, whether with physical ailments or mental distress or spiritual anguish. And we pray for all those who mourn. We take a moment now to think of all the names of those known to us who are facing these things. Heavenly Father, comfort them and heal them where it is your will. More than anything, help them to know that they are not alone and they have the ear of the Creator of the universe. Remind them that they can come to you whether we are gathered here as a church family or at 3 a.m. when things feel like they're too much. We thank you that in the Psalms we're told that when our hearts are overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that is higher than us. And in the book of James, we are told that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and that is always and only because of the one we pray to. So we ask you, Lord, to protect and comfort all those in need. All of these things, Lord, we ask and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I just want to briefly for a few minutes reflect on Psalm 136. I wonder what you'd call that song, this psalm. Let's maybe call it an anthem, shall we, an anthem. Certainly it has a line that invites everyone to join in, doesn't it? His love endures forever, his love endures forever, his love endures forever. It's coming home, it's coming home. Sorry, his love endures forever. I maybe got caught up in the wrong song there. It seems to me it comes at the end of an album or a collection that begins in the Psalms, Psalm 120, and the album is called The Song of Ascents. And they're probably songs that people sang as they made their way to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And you can maybe hear Psalm 136 right at the end of that as the big kind of anthem song that they all sang together. Actually, quite a lot of the lyrics are the same as Psalm 135, the one before it. It's like the kind of, this is going to make me sound awfully uncool, but it's like the dance remix of Psalm 135, where they've taken the same words, but they've put the same repeated beat line throughout it. But what's so striking is how this song has a kind of ongoing musical, lyrical loop to it. So there's this repeated line, as we've said, again and again. And it's just worth reflecting on repeated lines in songs, isn't it? It's not a song that's just one or two repeated lines. There's lots of real content in it, but it does go in for repetition in a big way. Repetition can be a great thing in learning, in getting truths across to us. And it can be a great thing in singing too. Now, we want the songs we sing in church to have real content. We've sung about our faith this morning in great songs. Truth that we glory in, as opposed to just simply repetitive froth and nothing more. But repetition can be really helpful. Learning memory verses, like we did last week while he was teaching us John 10:10 as we repeated it in song. But also reiterating and shaping us with profound fundamental truths. And for example, in Revelation chapter 4, we're told that the creatures in heaven never stop singing the same lines. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. There's repetitive singing in heaven. And here in this psalm, this repeated line gets this truth into us. The song and the line goes on and on and on. But so does God's love. But it's not just the line that's repeated a lot. The song itself is a loop. It loops round. So we began in verses 1 to 3 at the start of the service, and verse 26. And we took 1 to 3 from the beginning of the psalm and verse 26 from the end. And you'll see that the good God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, who we read about at the start, it then returns back to the very same God of heaven, praising God just for who he is. The psalm loops back at the end just to where it began, the very godness of God. But the loop also comes back round in the next lot of verses that Corinne just read to us. Verses 4 to 9, all about the God who creates, the God of all creation, is also about the God who makes the sun to govern the day and the moon to govern the night and provides for all his creatures. In verse 25, he sustains everything. In our ever-spinning, ever-changing world, here are two huge, repeated truths wrapped up in this lyrical loop. The world spins, but God keeps on being God, from beginning to end, and his love endures forever. The world spins, but God keeps on sustaining all he has made because his love endures forever. Whatever the world makes of God, God keeps on being God, and he keeps on loving the world that he has made. And then in the middle of the psalm, you get verses 10 to 24. Corinne is going to come and read this, and once more, we're going to respond with each line.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. and brought Israel through the midst of it. His love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His arm endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever.
Corin, thank you. And thank you. Here in the middle of this ongoing loop about the God of gods, the God of creation, we get the story of the God of salvation, God's story of salvation. Now, it's the story of God's people, Israel, the big story of the Old Testament, of how God saved them from Egypt and slavery there through the Exodus and brought them into the promised land. But it's a story fulfilled in the salvation of Jesus for people everywhere and forever. So as we briefly work through it, we can see how it's a story of how the Lord has powerfully rescued his people. Out of his enduring love, God's mighty hand and his outstretched arm dealt judgment on the Egyptians and their firstborn who had enslaved his people. And he pulled helpless Israel free from death and slavery. Out of his enduring love, God's mighty hand sent his own firstborn son with his outstretched arms to free us from our helpless slavery to sin and from death and judgment. The Lord has led his people into new life, the story tells us. The Lord brought his people from Egypt, miraculously through the Red Sea when it parted, to the other side, overthrowing Pharaoh and his army and leading his people on through the desert by his very presence going with them. So in Jesus, the Lord has brought us from the hopelessness of life without him into the assured hope of new life with him. He goes with us by his very spirit. He lives in us and among us. He leads us through life into his future. It's a story of how the Lord has totally defeated his enemies. Now, we read about the defeat not just of Pharaoh, but Og and Sihon. I don't know if you know those kings very well. You can read the original story of those two in Numbers chapter 21. But it's told again and again in the Old Testament. Whenever people tell of the big story of the Exodus, they mention these two kings. Og and Sihon are kings who stood in Israel's way when the Lord had brought them out of Egypt. Now, in human terms, the Israelites, ex-slaves, wandering in the desert, they stand as much chance of victory here as an Olympic cyclist without a bike. Or, did you see, is that poor Olympic German woman who had the horse that wouldn't play ball, that wouldn't jump at all, and how desperate and how hopeless. I mean, that was how it was, even worse for the Israelites. But God enables them against all the odds to triumph over these mighty kings. And they're totally done away with. It's a total irreversible victory over enemies who, in human terms, are overwhelming. Even greater, Jesus brings the total irreversible defeat of our overwhelming enemies. Satan is defeated. When Christ comes again, he'll be totally wiped out. Sin is defeated. With Jesus, it doesn't have the power to enslave us anymore. When Christ comes again, it will be no more. Death is defeated. Its dreadful consequences have been turned around for those who have the victory in Jesus And when he comes again, it will be no more. Nothing threatens God. Nothing can stand against him. Nothing can separate us from the love, the enduring love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the story goes on to say how the Lord has given his people a great inheritance. In the Old Testament, God's people then inherited the land, that promised land that God had given them as a place to live with him among them. Even more, through Jesus, we will inherit all that God has promised and prepared for us. In Jesus, we have forgiveness, hope, and assurance now. And our future is one in God's new creation, with all the wonder and the glory and the joy and perfection of how God intends true life to be. We've been hearing in these past weeks at the Olympics about many victorious good news stories that people across the world can celebrate. But this story tops them all. Those Olympic stories and their impact, even the gold, will in time fade. But what God has won for his people through his unending love will never perish, spoil, or fade. Perhaps you heard the American 400 meters hurdles runner, Sydney McLaughlin. She set a new world record as she won the gold in the 400 meters hurdles earlier in the week. She said afterwards, "Records come and go. The glory of God is eternal." And the story reminds us in verses 23 and 24 that the Lord has done this for you and me. It's not just the great story of the Bible that we can read or somewhere out there, but it's what God has done for you and for me. Our defining story of how God has looked on us. Who am I? Who are we to God? But he's looked on us and loved us and set us free to live for him forever. So it's funny, this song, this psalm, has a kind of rhythm and mix that actually is echoed in many other places in the Bible. And what I mean is this, that on one hand, there's this circular loop that we saw that keeps on going on and on and on. It keeps coming back to where we began about God. The beat of God's enduring love keeps going on and on and on forever. And yet at the same time, there's a storyline that drives right through it, with a definite beginning and end. It begins with God's creation of all things and us. It moves on to God's salvation and rescue of helpless and broken people to be his people. And it ends with God's future, the place that God has made for his people to live with him forever. So there's a loop, but at the same time, there's a definite line running through it. Maybe, Chris, you could put that up on the screen there. A loop of God's love and a definite line. A bit like a bike. The wheels keep turning, but it's actually heading somewhere. Let me then leave you very briefly with three things we can take from this. The first is this, that life is not actually on endless repeat. Life is not on endless repeat. Neither at the level of history or the level of your life and mine. Life is not an exercise bike where wheels turn, but it goes nowhere. Yep, history repeats itself in many ways, doesn't it? And yes, you may find life can be at times the same old, same old. But actually, there's a direction of history and life which God began and through which he's working out his purposes to their conclusion and even in our lives. And at the end, if we haven't recognized God for who he is, if we haven't looked to Jesus as our rescuer and the giver of true life and found our identity and our direction, our purpose in him, we'll find ourselves like Pharaoh and Og and Sion facing the God of gods. Life is not on endless repeat where we can just leave those questions till later. We all need to respond while we can to the Lord of history. And yet God's love is relentless throughout life. The repeated beat and theme of God working out his purpose is his enduring love, from beginning to end. It is, as the Jesus Storybook Bible says, his never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. It will keep beating until the world ends and the future creation is realized, and even then, his love will keep going. So in this life, there's always an opportunity to respond to God's love. Never a moment when God's love is not there for us to receive. And whether you've never yet knowingly known his love, despite the fact it's him who's been keeping you going all the time, or whether this is the beat that once again you need to tune your heart to, come back to how God's love endures forever for you and me. It's also a great thing to remember for our children as they grow up in this world. And as parents and as a church, we pray that they would grow up in the faith and in the love of God. From their birth and baptism, we root ourselves in the promises and relentless love of God. Wherever our children find themselves in life, God's love is there and endures forever. There's a beautiful song. It's not well known. You probably won't know it, but it's written by a man to his yet-to-be-born son about the love and the mercy of God that he will experience. It goes like this. This ain't a life for the faint of heart. There's no time for being afraid. Pain and sorrow will play their part, but mercy will find a way. It'll track you like a bloodhound. It'll hunt you night and day. You can curse, you can kick, you can spit when you're found, but it'll get you just the same. May the relentless love of God follow and find and shape us and our children as we pray and trust in him. And lastly, let's keep retelling the story of salvation. The story of salvation in the middle of the song, grounded in God's love, is what we're to keep on repeating. Keep on repeating in our worship, as we center and recenter ourselves again and again in the good news of Jesus and his love, day after day, week after week, as we gather here and online. Keep retelling in our discipleship as we encourage and keep encouraging each other, and as we pass on from generation to generation the truth of God's enduring love in Christ. And keep repeating in our witness as we keep sharing with others, those around us, the story of the God who made us, who rescues us, who brings new life, who has defeated sin and death, and who will bring us into the future he has promised. May we share that and all that means for you and me. Let's keep retelling the story of salvation, of the God whose love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. We're going to end as we sing together. In Christ alone, our hope is found.
Solid ground, burn through the fierces.
If you're here, let me remind you, you can exit by both doors in that corner here or out this way. I think the sun is looking to shine if you're visiting, or if you haven't seen it yet, do go and see our community garden outside there and the fruit and the vegetables that are growing, and enjoy catching up with people outside. But now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.